This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic. From Bloomberg Radio.
Well, last year, McKinsey came out with a report and they noted that the bioeconomy could have a direct economic impact of up to $4 trillion a year over the next 10 to 20 years. One company working in that world is Inscripta. Sri Kosaraju, he is president and CEO of the digital genome engineering company that we just mentioned, Inscripta, and he joins us on the phone in San Francisco. Sri, forgive me from the mispronunciation. It's when I can't read my own notes or phonetics. But it is good to have you here, and I have to say that my producer and I were talking earlier that this was just something that we love to talk about. Tell us, first of all, how are you doing and what the past year has been like?
Yeah, well, first of all, Carol, thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of Bloomberg Radio. I listen to it every morning, so I did want to say that before we get started.
In the morning, you didn't say the afternoon. Now I'm a little worried. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I wish I could listen all day. Last year has been phenomenal on many fronts. Obviously, the opportunity we're going up against has gotten a lot more visibility, and we'll talk about what that means in the bioeconomy, but it is going to be something that I think people start hearing much more about, and the additional dimension that it adds to the potential of our economy and to society at large. The pandemic has obviously made it tough for us, as it has for many other companies who are innovating, but we have very dedicated employees who have been in the lab diligently working. We've had our commercial teams diligently preparing to launch our first commercial product, the Onyx platform, which we announced just a few weeks ago that we shipped our first commercial unit. So we are trying to make progress despite the pandemic.
Well, tell us exactly what the bioeconomy is.
Yeah, so it is, as I said, to me, it's an additional dimension to the economy. And you referenced at the outset a McKinsey statistic. Another statistic from McKinsey last year was that, in principle, approximately 60% of the physical inputs to the economy could be biologically produced. And when you sort of take a step back and think about that, that explains the magnitude of what we talk about with the bioeconomy. Mm-hmm. Biology's played an important role in the last decade on discovery in life sciences and even in the production of therapeutics. However, bioeconomy is larger than that. It affects many more industries beyond just healthcare, and it has much more far-reaching impact into products that all of us touch every day. And there's a couple of themes that are sort of catalyzing this movement, and some of them are very familiar to us, that the movement to sustainability, the movement to climate change, to adapt to climate change, and the basic movement around just greater performance and efficiency of our products and businesses. So there are so many confluent catalysts that are really accelerating this movement in the bioeconomy.
So I feel like we're speaking, Sri, in kind of broad strokes here. So tell me, like, drill it down, like, does this include things such as growing food in labs, growing organs in labs? Like, tell us kind of when we get down to a granular level, like, what exactly this means.
So the most common things that you might read about if you were to Google it would be in agriculture, crops or plants that are disease resistant, that are characterized traits that allow them to grow and prosper more efficiently. So agriculture is a place where you might hear and see this a lot. And as our global population grows, as we're trying to get more efficiency out of the land and water and plants, this is one area that a lot of companies are looking for to see innovation and benefit. Cosmetics, you find that also are starting to talk about using gene engineering to manufacture more sustainable cosmetic products. We also see it if you kind of move back, you know, I said it's beyond healthcare, but if you kind of move back to healthcare, even in biologics, you know, just today I was talking to a researcher in Europe who was very keen in his study of antibiotics. Antibiotics haven't really been advanced in the last two decades, and many of the organisms in the body have shown resistance to antibiotics. So researchers are studying what causes that, and can we identify and isolate those parts of the genes that contribute to that so that we can design more effective antibiotics in the future. So really, as you can tell, just such a wide range of potential application.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get right back to our guest. Sri Kazaraju is with us. He's president and CEO of the digital genome engineering company. It's called Inscripta. And Sri is still with us on the phone in San Francisco. So Sri, tell us about kind of where your company fits into this world of the bioeconomy, what you are specifically doing, who you're working with.
Sure, Carol. So the mission for Inscripta is to enable researchers to realize the full potential of the bioeconomy. And specifically what that means is in our first product that we're launching, it represents the first digital genome engineering platform in the world that can sit on a bench in a lab. This initial platform is for microbial, so yeast and E. coli organisms. And just to kind of put this into context, what can it do? A typical experiment, a gene editing experiment that a lab may have done with a couple PhDs over the course of many months up to a year, now can be done in a matter of weeks or months. And it's an incredible savings of time, but more importantly, the scale of edits that this can produce in a single run can get up to 10,000 single edits in parallel. Mm-hmm. So there's incredible power in the scale of this platform. And it's really opening the minds of many researchers that we speak to about what kind of work and research they could do with it. So that's the Onyx platform, and behind it, we're in development on several other very exciting platforms as well.
Can you talk to us at all about some of the partners or some of the areas that you're working in specifically? I know you talked about kind of applications of this, so I'm assuming a lot of it is either ag or healthcare. I mean, where is it?
Well, we're just getting started commercially. So we announced our first commercial shipment to GeneMill in the UK and in Liverpool. There are two main categories of folks that we're talking to right now about about the platform. One is your core academic research centers, and two are bioindustrial companies and the range of industries that that represents. You're right. You know, it's a very wide range. But many of these folks are already utilizing CRISPR in some way, meaning they're doing some form of gene editing in-house already. And they're looking to really make those experiments more efficient, but also explore what more can they do with a more powerful system and platform.
So, okay, forgive me, because I'm thinking we've got a lot of listeners and we have a really smart audience. And I'm going to, this is not my world, but it definitely interests me in terms of gene editing and kind of where this is all going. So if you were sitting down with someone to explain kind of the potential, because it sounds like we're on the cusp. There's a lot out there already, but there's so much more that can be done when it comes to the bioeconomy or the genomic engineering that you guys are involved in. How would you explain it kind of to a lay person in terms of how it might impact us in the years to come? Also, as an investor, kind of who will be the players involved in it? Because I am curious sure. about kind of your own future. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a great question. So to put this into context, if we think about genomics and even with COVID, we've heard about some of these terms of the technologies that are being used. PCR and next-gen sequencing are amongst some of the biggest step function changes in our history as it relates to genomics. And those are all around reading genes. And that's provided us incredible information. We've utilized it in a variety of ways for research, even trying to develop diagnostics or even things to fight things like the COVID-19 virus. What CRISPR has done is provided a step function change against those prior historical advancements. Now, with CRISPR, we can edit genes. We can write genes instead of reading them. And the opportunity around that is massive. When we speak to researchers, they're trying to create as much, they call it variation. That means as much things to study around something to learn as possible. But it's not just about research and information now. With gene editing, we can also create new products. And that's the biggest change with this advancement of what we at Inscripta, as well as others, are going to be doing is we're not only going to be understanding information, but we're going to be creating products with this technology as well. And that is where the breadth of the opportunity is just so incredibly massive that we're all quite excited about it.
Well, so tell us about this $150 million Series E financing round. I think it was led by Fidelity. There's also funds and accounts from T. Rowe Price that are involved in it. Tell us about that and that kind of that money. What will you guys plan to do with it?
This is just an incredible market. I know, you know, all the listeners know that from watching the market environment we're in and seeing the premium for innovation and growth companies. And specifically in the life sciences, you know, this whole area of gene editing also has been extremely robust and a lot of capital going against it because there's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. We looked at this round as an opportunistic financing. We were well capitalized. There were a lot of alternatives for companies to raise money, to go public. We think we got the best of both worlds. We got really world-class long-term investors, and we also retained the ability to grow our business privately, you know, which affords tremendous flexibility and the opportunity to explore new areas. And so the $150 million, you know, I use the word opportunistic. It's really around going after additional areas that where we can bring our technology to more and more researchers. So these are things down the road beyond what we're already developing with either Onyx or our mammalian platform.
What is the growth of the company? I know you're early in. What are your expectations going forward?
This is such, as we've established, such a large market. The focus for us is exactly that, having focus, picking certain areas and customers and really showing success of our platform. So it might be contra to what someone might think about, you know, really growing fast. For us, the long-term future gets solidified and much stronger if we can be successful showing customers applications where they can use this technology and where they can do things they haven't done before. So when we look at this and when I think our investors who got involved in the Series E looked at this, it wasn't about driving, you know, 2021 or 2022 platform revenues or sales. You know, this was about how do we secure our place as a long-term impact, you know, that can drive a new paradigm change, not just for the technology, but for us as an organization. You know, they've encouraged us to be aggressive and invest and to take our time making good decisions, you know, that aren't necessarily short-term oriented, but can drive greater long-term stability and success.
Right.
We think this is going to be a new large market. And so being early, being smart about how we build the company for the future are paramount.
Well, we look forward to hearing more, and I hope you'll come back. And by then, hopefully, I will have your name down, Pat. Sri Kozaraju, he is the president and CEO of the digital genome engineering company Inscripta, and we appreciate his time. Shares of Dell, by the way, up about 8.4% in the after hours, saying it's going to spin off VMware software unit by the fourth quarter. Have a good and safe evening, everybody. This is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.